Hey, anyone here love watching videos on YouTube? Anyone in particular YouTube fan here? Yes, I see those hands. I see those hands. Twitter fans out there? Who loves to tweet? Anyone? No, not really Twitter people here. What about Facebook fanatics? Now, I know some of you are. Not looking at anyone in particular. Andrea. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I see some pointing happening. How about this here? What if they merged? Merging always happens. Oh, you twit face. Oh, no, it's terrible in church. Online connection doesn't always bring out the best in us, does it? It's not how it was made to be. Sure, there's some really good benefits of being able to, communicate in other ways, but it doesn't always bring out the best of us. Even communicating by text message and email are often problematic if we're trying to say things that really need to be said face to face. But we love to connect, don't we? We were made for it. Relationships are super important to us. Just think of the joy and the laughs that we have when it's going well. And think of well, don't think of the, but there's pain and there's stress, isn't there, when relationships aren't going well, when things are messy. So how can we relate well to one another, both online and kanohi ki te kanohi, face to face, without being a twit face? What does it look like to care for one another with love, like what we are probably going to be, committing ourselves to? What does it look like to care for one another with love? When we seek the mind of Christ together on topics, whether it be budgets or leaders or hot topics, what should our posture be? Our posture. Nice, not straight back, but, how should we face towards one another? How ought we view and listen and speak with one another in these times? So over the last few weeks, we've heard a variety of people, five different people, share messages from some of the Bible's ageless wisdom on six themes relating well to one another. So I'm just going to do a super brief comment on each of the messages that we've heard over the last few weeks, drawing out both how I see this goodness in us, and also what this could mean for us looking forward in terms of challenge. I think the videos earlier highlight the stuff really well about just the importance of working together as a team to help things go well and helping each other. So, week one, way back on June 12, with Mouse on serving one another. Mouse kicked us off with what I thought was a super challenging message on serving one another. I wasn't there. I listened to it afterwards, and I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, there's stuff on that. And I had to revisit when I was preparing it this week, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's tough, but really good. He highlighted how when Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire back in the 300s AD, that this moved Christianity from persecution to the position of power and authority, namely from serving others, a shift from serving others to serving selves. The church has been battling the sense of entitlement ever since. And so the challenge the church has had is wanting to determine what is best for other people, especially when there is very little relationship with those we're often trying to make decisions for. So rather than this, Mouse said, the same God who made the heavens and the earth is the same God who washed the disciples' feet. And so instead of thinking that we know best how to serve people, we could rather get to know people and ask them what's helpful and serve along those lines. I think we're doing pretty well in lots of areas in this way. I love how West has always had and continues to have, and God willing will always have, a real servant heart attitude. It's beautiful. For 30 years, selflessly serving this community. We serve one another in many different ways. morning tea each week, just one little example of that, which enables us to enjoy each other's company and experience some community. Cleaning the building is another expression of serving one another. Thank you, cleaning people, curators, and speakers, and sound and music team. Give up huge amounts of time and energy in serving us all. I think that's really beautiful. What about that challenge? Mouse challenged us to not just employ people, to help people, if doing this means we don't get involved in serving ourselves. So week two, with Judy, being at peace with one another. Judy had three key points. Firstly, true peace in relationships with one another starts with peace in relationship to ourselves and God, which requires honesty with ourselves and hard work of making changes in our lives. It's not taking a hardened up pill or covering over unpleasant smells. In other words, covering over difficult stuff or conflict, because that doesn't bring peace. Secondly, Judy asked the question, do I make it hard for people to live at peace with me? That's a great question. Through my attitudes, my negative talk, my prejudices and pride, my sense of certainty or addiction to my own way of seeing things, in her words. In Jesus' mind, it's better to go through the hard work of addressing these attributes in order that relationships and peace may flourish. And then thirdly, is there room for me to grow in compassion, kindness, and forgiveness in order to live in peace? And of course, yes, there is always room and opportunity to grow. So where we're doing well with being at peace with one another, my reflection on this would be that we've worked hard for a long time on the idea of being okay with difference, like how Gary alluded to earlier. And that takes a lot of maturity to recognize our own preferences and biases and have compassion and empathy with people who have different views to our own. And with the range of people that make up West, we get on, even though we don't always agree. There's a peace with our differences. And in terms of the challenge, Judy mentioned gossip a lot. She gave a clear invitation to focus on the good of people and not be tempted to seek out information on others and pass that on under the guise of care. There's a challenge to not sweep conflict under the carpet or spray it with a nice-smelling scent to cover over something yucky, meaning it's important to appropriately address messy stuff when we miss the goal of caring for one another with love. So there's a challenge in there. This stuff's never easy. I don't think anyone ever has that stuff nailed. No place does either. So week three, from 1 Peter chapter 5, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. So I spoke on this one. My key message here was that just like how we intentionally put on clothes, lest we cause others much grief, we also need to intentionally put on humility, to choose to be humble, to choose to believe that we might not have all of God's truth. And so we can be open to learning, open to change, open to each other. The pride of certainty is opposed to clothing ourselves with humility. And then the fourth week, loving one another. So I shared that as well. How we love to talk about love, though, don't we? Which is great. The sort of love we love to talk about is the grounding love, the grounded love, love that is an action. We heard testimonies from a few people, and the recurring message was the call to be consistently kind, because Christians don't have a monopoly on love and kindness, but we do have a responsibility to be kind, consistently kind. So regarding what we're doing well with, I think how we love in the way that we make contact with one another is a really fantastic expression of this. Phone calls, coffees, shared meals and the like. It's things like dropping around the newsletter to people who aren't getting out at the moment, like I know what's happened, like that's happened this week. Dropping some baking in, and I've heard of examples of that this week. Praying for people, just telling people you're praying for them, making time. those are, I mean, there's lots of things, but that's just some of the stuff that I've very aware of in the last few days. I think a challenge for us is how to move beyond being friendly. I've consistently heard for 10 years that we're a really friendly church, which is awesome. But how do we move beyond being friendly to love people enough to involve them in our lives, to spend time together? I suspect the world and Aotearoa are coming into a... Actually, it's no surprise. It's not really suspecting it. It's happened. It's happening. It's going to happen more. Into a season of increased loneliness and disconnection. Churches have so much to offer in this space. And for us, I do think we've got some work to do around creating spaces for relationships, friendships to flourish. I'm pretty keen for us to do some thinking and action on this in the coming months, and certainly well into next year as well, to help create some structures and ways that we can do this simply and meaningfully, connect other people in. So that's loving one another. Then we had encouraging one another with Lou. Lou unpacked the book of 1 Thessalonians off the top of her head. She highlighted the tension in Christian faith between a focus on the future hope that we have of Christ making all things new in a way that leads to laziness in the here and now, which is what some of the young Thessalonian Christians were doing. And on the other hand, the sense of being overwhelmed that can come from being totally devoted to the here and now with no big picture view of the future. And so to combat falling into either extreme of the pendulum, the wisdom of the Bible says, so encourage one another with the hope you have. Build each other up. In fact, that's what you are doing. So in what ways is encouraging others what we're doing, and what might be the challenge for us? I think keeping on meeting together is so important in difficult times. Of course, there's sickness, and there's not wanting to spread stuff around even when we have mild illness going on, and that's really responsible. And of course, there are work demands and opportunities to visit family and friends and to recreate, to rest. And beyond these, spending time together and having some meaningful conversation and connection is so important. Listening and being listened to, sharing our stories, being reminded of God's story, lifting our minds and our gaze to God in worship. These things, they sustain us in hard times. They encourage us to keep being faithful. Guess that's what the Bible says, you know, about not giving up meeting together. I'm not just talking about Sunday mornings here either. But being real, being vulnerable, is a real encouragement to people. So let's continue to take opportunities to encourage one another, to build one another up. And then last week, we had Accept One Another with Andy. Accept one another as Christ accepted us. Andy shared how it's God's desire for us to live in harmony, to be aligned and united under Christ as the head of the church. And that's only possible when we accept one another as Christ has accepted us. And how does Christ accept us? Well, as Christ accepted all people when he walked on earth, Christ accepts us in our weakness. Christ accepts us in love and completely, even if it's not deserved. If that's how Christ accepts us, that's our call, an invitation and challenge to accept one another. It's this acceptance that builds us up in faith. As we receive grace from God, as we receive grace from others, we respond and share grace. So it's like this supernatural gift. And when we do this work of acceptance, it brings glory to God. So how do we see this amongst us? Well, I think we see this radical acceptance on display often, actually. Not only are there personality and interest differences here, but there are belief differences too, which of course is to be expected in any church, in any gathering of any people. It's normal, it's healthy. Yes, we have focuses as a church, and that means, you know, not all new people are going to want to commit to being a partner with us, for example. But anybody is welcome to share in this faith community. And what might the challenges be for us accepting others as Christ has accepted us? Well, Andy talked about handling differences well rather than letting them divide us. We're all different and we're all the same. Remember the Sesame Street clip that Leanne showed? That was great. This will be a challenge for us in the coming weeks and months in the marriage equality discussions and decisions we'll be making. Will we fully accept others in this church when we might prefer to make rules to say some are not accepted? And in this process, will we handle our differences well, or will we let them divide us? Personally, I've got a huge amount of confidence that we will have healthy conversations where differences will be shared and respected. But this takes the intentionality. It takes grace and maturity and a willingness to accept one another as Christ has accepted us. And so, may we be Christ Jesus' people who serve one another, who live at peace with one another, who clothe ourselves with humility towards one another, who love one another, who encourage and build up one another, who accept one another as Christ has accepted us. Amen to that.